Which one is it?
Hi everyone, and hope you are all doing very well. Guys, I'm really so happy. Dubai Masters 2019.
Our friend Tarek.
What a guy.
What a guy. Let's get this going. It's a good day. It's a good day. Let's get it going.
Let's do it.
Welcome, everybody. We've been having some technical difficulties. Anyway, I'm happy to be back. Kyle, how you doing?
Hanging in there.
Episode number 35.
Wow.
And we skipped a week, and we apologize. I was in Daytona, so no can do. Yep. No podcast.
Out of town.
I was doing my other hobby, which is getting drunk and riding my motorcycle.
Not at the same time, though.
No, not at the same time.
Right.
Similar times, but not exactly at the same time. No, I was at Bike Week. It was fun. It was a good time. Good time. Yeah, I love that place, man. It's like a big helicopter event for motorcycles.
Yeah.
So motorcycles. There's two big events. There's one called Sturgis in South Dakota. Mm-hmm. That's like IRCHA of biking, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's Daytona Beach, Daytona. And that's like the Orlando helicopter blowout. Kind of like, kind of want to be the real deal, but it's not quite there, but it's still fun. Yeah. And okay. It's good, man. You see a lot of girls, you know.
Really?
Some of them are hot. Some of them are
not
pretending to be. And they dress as if they were hot, but they're really not.
Right.
But you see a lot of cool bikes, and you get to meet people, and, you know, you have a cocktail or two, and you ride, you get to ride. Yeah, it's just a good time. Nice. You can buy upgrades for your stuff, or it's just a good old time.
You bought some upgrades, didn't you?
Yeah, I spent some money, unfortunately.
But no way. What'd you get?
God, I got a badass sound system for my bike.
Coming in today, I saw that thing Rockford, still taken apart.
Yeah, my bike's still taken apart. Rockford Fosgate, baby. Oh, so I can jam to some rap. I love rap.
Yeah. Cardi B.
Yeah. Cardi B. No, I'm good. No, just so I can listen to some music. I don't like rap. Yeah. I like metal and rock.
There you go.
I'm an 80s guy. I'm an old dude.
Old at heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. Well, that's cool.
What about you?
Nothing.
Whatever.
Nothing. No, I just held down the front.
I know you held down the front, so I'm really appreciative.
Anytime.
I'm going to have to do it for you while you go to your wonderful, exotic Asian Thailand trip the next week.
Yeah. But what have I been up to? I saw family over the weekend. Went and saw my aunts and uncles and grandma. Grandma came down. Other than that, not a whole lot.
And your uncle is a badass guitar player, isn't he?
Dude is solid. Yeah, he's solid. Good, huh? He's been playing for like 30 years. Every time I watch him play, it just blows me away.
He records for what? Like, he does jingles or he does
like
he has a proper, like, he's a professional guitar player. Like,
right. Yeah, he's a studio musician, so he'll record the music for like the Weather Channel or commercials.
No way.
Yeah, he like
the Weather Channel.
Yeah,
no
he's,
way.
He's done music for the Weather Channel before.
Damn, that's awesome.
Yeah, so he's pretty cool. He's pretty accomplished. But hung out with him, saw grandma, she came down to hang out.
Nice.
So it's good to see them. And then this week we got a big box at the shop.
Yeah, you
Very
did.
Big box, yeah.
Did he do? What's Weather Channel music? That's confusing.
Yeah, you know, just the, like
like guitar, like background while you're listening. Yeah. Like, here's your forecast for today or whatever. Really?
Yeah, you hear a little blues line? Yeah, that's probably my uncle.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Not a lot of royalties, but he's doing good.
Nice.
But yeah, other than that,
big box.
Big box, yeah. We got a big box.
What about flying? Did you do any flying?
While you were gone?
Yeah.
No, not even a little bit.
Really?
Well,
the weekend before, we went to the field because we haven't done podcast.
Did we go to the field?
It's been 2 weeks, man. It's becoming a trend.
We went to the field?
Yeah.
Yes, we did, yeah.
It's becoming a trend. You know this, right?
This is bad.
2 weeks ago, last week, we didn't do a podcast. But then 2 weeks ago, we didn't either.
This is not good. Like every other one, we skip a week.
Yeah, we're skipping a week.
We're getting lazy. Very lazy. Yeah.
Well, it's all James Van Hook's fault, but I can explain that later. Anyway, we did go flying. We went to the field. We had a club meeting. Yeah.
Yeah. What did we do there? Did you fly?
Yeah, I flew. I flew my my Drake, and Gator was there. Uh-huh. Remember?
Yeah. And he flew his Drake 570.
He just had finally after about 3 months of building. Yeah, it's ready.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Took him long enough.
Club meeting. That's the only time when people show up because there's free food.
I know. Huh? Yeah, we get pizza for people and everyone shows up in herds, but no food, no people. So funny how that works. Yeah, we went flying. Gator was there. He didn't crash. He did great. No crashing, right?
No, yeah, he didn't crash.
No crashing, yeah.
No. We had a little technical issue with this build. We have to address. I'm sure it'll be fine by now, but
nah, it's all good.
So we went flying.
I think I flew my Nitro, and we flew another Nitro.
You flew your Nitro, yes.
Yeah.
What Nitro? Oh, we flew Carrie Shirley's
570
Nitro. Conversion. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
We had a little issue with it. Nothing to do with Carrie. But,
No. Or servos.
Nothing to do with servos. Nothing to do with engine. No. We had a little issue, but I'm sure we'll get it fixed.
Yeah. We flew Carrie's though, and Carrie's
did you fix it yet?
Flying well. It is fixed, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's good to go. We flew Carrie's, and Carrie's flies well.
Carrie's flies really good.
Really good.
So there are two nitro conversions. This is worth getting into for a few minutes here.
Sure.
There are two nitro conversions right now for the 570 Goblin, okay? One is from MCRI.
MRCI.
MRCI. Massimo, our friend from Italy. He's the one that makes the MRCI pipe, okay, out of Italy. Great pipe. He hooked me up with a pipe a year ago when we went to Italy. I love it. That's what I run on my Black Nitro 700. So one is coming from him. I think Jonas Schelp, our team manager for BK Servo in Europe, has something to do with that, right?
He designed the conversion.
Nice. Yeah. Good for Jonas.
Yeah.
Looks solid. Really nice. And then we have the Carrie Shirley. Which is who makes that? Is that Carrie's design? Whose is it?
I'm not sure if Carrie designed it. It's under his company, the Gas Powered Helicopters Conversion. If anyone remembers, Carrie released a 105 conversion, a 570 Nitro that supported an OS-91 or an OS-105.
Yeah.
And now they just simply adapted it to an OS-55. So I think he has someone designing for him. I do not think that Carrie is a designer.
Yeah. It's nice though. They're different.
Very different.
I think Jonas's is more in line with what the Black Nitro is.
Right.
Carrie's is more like previous conversions that he's sold or designed or done himself. Totally different.
Just different.
Yeah.
They both have their pros and cons.
Yeah, they definitely both do. And I haven't seen Jonas's or MCRI.
MRCI.
MRCI. I'm just going to call him MRCI.
Mr. Sai.
I haven't seen that up front, like up close, so I can't really comment. But it's two good options for those of you who would like to have a Nitro, a small Nitro Goblin helicopter. 570 being apparently the choice because everybody seems to be wanting to go a little bit smaller on that 600 class Nitro, right?
Well, I think the reason is because Nitro is so expensive, and you can get more flights out of a gallon with a 50 size Nitro compared to a 90.
Correct. So, but what are people doing like 570, 550? Like, look at Bodo's. He did a 556, right? Synergy instead of a 600. Why? What's the deal with like going smaller on a 50 size class? 50 size Nitro engine, why would you want to go smaller airframe size wise?
Smaller blade size, so you get more power out of the engine.
Is that it?
You have less pop overall because you have a smaller disc, but
yeah,
in theory, you should have more power maybe. It's less load on the engine by a decent margin too, because you're saving 30 millimeters per blade on the Goblin 570 Nitro.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's like Matt's like 556. That's like truly a 556 size blade.
Yeah.
That's 44 millimeters smaller per blade.
Right.
That's 88 millimeters smaller rotor diameter. That's a lot.
It adds up.
88 millimeters. That's almost a meter. That's a lot, dude. It's like a foot.
Yeah.
Not quite, but like 10 inches. Somewhere in there. I'm just throwing numbers based on my poor had math in my head, but yeah, it's a big difference.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
So, but it seems to be the trend.
I don't know. They seem cool. Carries flies well. I think it's got good power to weight ratio, and it flies for like 7 or 8 minutes on the tank that Carry has in there. So,
yeah,
pretty sweet. But yeah, back to the big box that arrived.
The box.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the box? You want to talk about Rotor Life?
Let's do Rotor Life first.
Rotor Life. You got a big box.
We did get a big
shoes?
Box.
Shoes? You like shoes. You buy a lot of shoes.
I did buy more shoes, actually. Yeah, more Vans. Anyway, Rotor Live has come and passed. For those of you that don't know what Rotor Live is, Rotor Live is a big trade show / demo / competition over in Baden-Baden, Germany that happens in March every year. Unfortunately, I was not able to attend this year for reasons. And
what reasons?
I don't know.
Better not to comment.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I don't good. Know.
Yeah, I do know. But yeah, it's all good. Yeah,
right.
No need.
So, Rotor Live, like I said, it's a big trade show. It's where all the vendors go, all the big name vendors go to show off their new products. It's kind of like the unofficial announcement time, I guess.
And let me say something. It's a freaking awesome. There's nothing like that in North America, and I wish there was.
Right.
Because it's like, it's just a freaking awesome trade show.
Well, it's comparable to Toledo, but this is all helis.
This is all helis.
All helis.
Toledo is like a bunch of
airplanes,
all kinds of stuff that nobody gives a shit about, but
right.
But this is helis, man, and it's awesome.
Yeah, all helis.
And it's like four or five stories. I've been there so many times I can't even remember. 4 or 5 stories.
Mm-hmm.
And it, for those of you that don't know about Rotor Live, it's on a horseback riding track, right? Mm-hmm. And a horse track,
right?
So the top floor has every floor has bleachers, like a balcony sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
with bleachers, I guess you could say, or like, mm-hmm. you know, place to sit,
yeah.
overlooking the horse track.
Right.
But the top floor has this crazy angle where, like, it's meant for people to sit and watch a horse race.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody that on every floor can just go out the balcony or go to the top floor where it has an angle and a view. And actually, top floor is like a restaurant, bar, whatever.
Right.
And look down at the horse track. And the horse track is where the flying takes place.
Right.
So you could be inside this building shopping and buying stuff or looking at the latest and greatest and go out the balcony or go up to the bar restaurant and look down and watch flying. And mm-hmm. the flying could be demos from SAB mm-hmm. or a line or whomever is there, right?
Right.
Or the competition, because they also do a competition right. during this period. So it's a really cool concept. And I've heard that at some of the peak years, they've had like upwards of 15,000 to 20,000 people through Rotor Live on any given weekend. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It gets packed on Saturday. It's a Saturday-Sunday event. So on Saturday, it is absolutely, it's a zoo there with how many people they have, especially on the main floors where all the popular manufacturers are. It's impossible to walk through with all the people there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's cool. There's no open flying. So any flying you're watching is going to be by a demo pilot or the competition. So you're guaranteed an exciting flight.
Demo?
No matter.
Yeah. It's not like...
It's not open flying.
Yeah, it's not like Joe Smith can go there and fly. No.
Right.
You have to be a sponsored pilot.
Yeah.
Be signed up with a manufacturer. Mm-hmm. Have your name put down for the demo slot. Yada, yada. Yeah.
So it's really cool. I've always loved going in years past. I wish I could have gone this year, but just...
No.
Couldn't go.
I have to dog it for one reason.
Terrible weather. Poor timing.
Dude.
It's so bad.
The cold and wind.
It's always windy. Always freezing. It snowed last time I was there.
Dude, I heard that you told me.
Yeah.
So, well, somebody before you told me that the weather was complete shit. I think Ugo
mm-hmm.
For Switzerland said, man, it was like, he's European. So he said it's like blowing 40 meters per second, whatever the hell that is.
A lot.
But dude, it was like, I heard it was like upwards of what, 50 miles per hour?
It was crazy.
Like
they had to stop the flying. And even, so there's a competition there, and how the competition works is it's knockout style. So you fly against someone and then you knock them out or you get knocked out, yada, yada. And they got down to the semifinal with 4 pilots left and they had to cancel it because the wind was so strong and so bad. So Rotor Live had 4 winners that year, which was interesting to say the least. But all the demo stops.
40 meters per second, and it says that it's 89 miles per hour.
Yeah.
That is not possible.
That's dangerous. It's like a hurricane.
That's not possible. So I might be confused. It might be like,
I heard it was really bad.
20 meters per second? I don't know. I heard that it was like insane wind.
Whatever it was outside of what was allowed to be flying with.
Yeah. So, yeah. So what happened with the competition?
Yeah, it was so windy, they canceled the semifinals and finals. So they got down to the final four pilots. It was too windy, so they said, all right, we have four winners. Each person got a first place trophy.
Oh, it's like the liberal way. Sorry, guys. Sorry, guys.
Everyone's a winner. Participation trophy.
Participation trophy. Sorry, guys, if you're liberals. We love you all, but we don't agree with it. I think everybody should have been a loser because there was no way to win, right? But it's all good. You'll have chances to win later on
when
the weather cooperates. No one wins. Everybody lost. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Weather didn't cooperate. Sorry, guys. You're a loser. Goodbye.
Take the trophy and throw it in the wind because the wind won.
Give a trophy to the wind and the gods. Jesus Christ. Participation, my ass.
Terrible.
Sorry.
Terrible.
I like to be honest. Okay, so River Life. I love this.
Yeah.
This is great. So okay. What is cool about Rotor Life, okay, joking aside, is you in Europe, and which Europe dictate, it seems to be nowadays to where Europe dictates the hobby around the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
United States market has slowed down, right? Mm-hmm. Considerably. Mm-hmm. Everybody has slowed down, but Europe seems to kind of stay afloat, right? Yeah. Like more than anybody else.
Right.
And this is kind of like the opportunity to Rotor Life for vendors, whether it is Mikado, SAB, whomever, you know, anybody, to show the latest and greatest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the beginning of the season. The weather is starting to warm up.
Yeah.
People up in Europe, especially Germany, which is historically, traditionally a very cold country, mm-hmm. during the winter months, no different than, you know, northern U.S.,
mm-hmm.
they're like, hey, we have this, that, and get people excited about what's new, what's upcoming, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So, what's new?
Well, first
we'll get
and
to
foremost.
The box later. Come on. All right. Talk about the box last.
All right, we'll get to that one. So, for SAB announcements, SAB bought a couple stuff. One of them was an Uruk-hai push-pull kit, a conversion kit. So for those of you that know the Uruk-hai, Goblin Uruk-hai, it has a standard cyclic servo setup where they just sit flat and you got the link just straight up. But what they've done now is it's got push-pull with bell cranks, like the old T-Rex 700 and I'm sure a lot of other stuff that I can't remember right now. Why they did this, I have absolutely no idea because I'm not an F3C pilot and I never will be good enough to do that. But I'm sure there's some sort of benefit to it.
If you're an F3C pilot and you like push-pull, check it out.
Yeah, it's a conversion kit. It's not an actual full-on new kit.
Yeah.
The Goblin 570 Nitro Conversion by MRCI. They also came out with a 50-size pipe.
Introduced there. Yep.
Just to clarify, this is not an SAB product. It's not associated with SAB whatsoever. Standalone product by MRCI only.
MRCI.
Yes.
Yep. God, I got it right. MRCI.
You did it.
I read it.
X-Nova. They got a new motor out.
They have the Tarek Edition helicopter. Tarek motor for super high power.
Yeah.
It's very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. X-Tarek.
And I think there's also another motor just announced for a logo.
690.
Logo 690. Another motor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be announcing, we'll be posting those motors on the website soon. I think one is like a super crazy motor.
Mm-hmm.
We just got info sent literally as we are recording this.
Yeah.
Fancy stuff. Where's the info? It's a Tarek motor based on the 4530 size, mm-hmm. I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really powerful. 550 kV.
Yeah. It's a
crazy motor. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big boy.
And then a 4525 380 kV.
Right.
Which is for the logo.
690.
690.
Yeah. Because the gearing on that is kind of goofy. So you have to run a really low kV for it.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. Yeah.
That's cool. So X-Nova announced that.
Yep.
Then there was an ultralight TDR. What's up with that?
The TDSF. The TD Slow Flyer is what they call it. This, outside of the SAB announcement, this thing is freaking awesome. I think it's really cool.
Really?
Because it's different. It's not meant for you and me by any means because we like 2,700 RPM and a lot of pitch. But this thing is awesome. It's a 700 size heli.
For like a Simone type flyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It runs 713 blades and it weighs 5.2 pounds, ready to fly.
With the battery?
With a battery.
No way.
Yeah, with a battery. So it runs on 5S and 1500 RPM, but 5 pounds ready to fly with a battery. Dude, imagine flying that road alive with the wind.
That's sick, man. Gone. That's, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, good. Goodbye. It's a kite.
Yeah.
But on a calm day, yeah, the efficiency, I mean, that's yeah, crazy. 5S.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Yeah. Nice.
Probably flies forever, too.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
The I'm not trying to dog TDR. I think they're a great, great company. Right. And Yan has done like an incredible job at like coming up with like a very special mm-hmm. niche market mm-hmm. for his own product that is made by him, designed, yada yada.
Yeah.
But man, it's just hard to get, right? You have to put your name on a waiting list yeah. and like
it ships
isn't
from
it?
Germany. There's no US distributor, there's no yeah. dealers. If you want it, it comes from him. It's packaged, made, and cut in his garage like it's fully yeah. done by him.
It's the real deal though. Like yeah. it's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's like high quality.
Very high quality
stuff.
Yeah. And
but it's not like mass market type heli.
No, yeah. no, no. No, you have to contact him directly yeah. and all that. But something that's really cool, and this TDSF has it, is they have linear servo setup. It's actually a linear freaking rod with gears and stuff. So you saw, I don't know how it works all the way, but you install something on your servo and it's turned some gears and the rod is linear for servo.
Yeah, so he's getting rid of the servo arch, right? Which yeah. helps yeah. for interactions and stuff. But
yeah.
I don't know that's really needed with flabberless systems of today, though. Yeah. I don't know,
but it's a cool idea. Cool concept. What else?
Interesting.
What's next?
You have some note here about the Soxos?
Soxo Strike 7.
What is that?
I'll be honest, I don't know much of anything about this. But Soxos helicopters, they had the DB7 and some other stuff. So now they have the Strike 7.
A lot of announcements at RotorLife. No
yeah,
way.
Yeah, like everyone.
A lot of new stuff.
Yeah. But Strike 7, I don't know. It's got kind of a crazy looking canopy, but good for them for coming out and keeping
I'm skipping
fresh.
One here, but what about the Mikado Logo 800 plastic?
Yeah.
What's up with the plastic?
Plastic. Yeah. Plastic frame. Logo 800.
But they're all plastic, aren't they?
No, well, no.
Oh, no, they're not all.
No.
But the 600 was.
600
that was my
was.
Favorite,
yeah.
like, helicopter way yeah. back in the day.
Right.
Logo 600, yeah.
It's great.
Yeah,
Worked
it was awesome,
well.
Yeah.
I think what they did with this thing is they took the Logo 700, made a bigger, smaller frame to accept 14S packs, and then they did a bigger canopy, obviously, and then a longer boom. And it's actually a CNC metal tailcase, not a plastic tailcase.
Nice.
Yeah, looks cool.
Good for Mikado.
Yeah.
But Mikado also did a V-Bar Control Touch plastic.
Yes, they colors. Have new, they have a blue one.
Color.
Yeah.
But it's not CNC aluminum like their original touch color version, right?
I thought it was going to be CNC when I saw the pictures, but it's actually the same plastic. It just has a dye in it. Hmm. So it's not CNC aluminum. It's just plastic with just simply a dye. They got like a gunmetal. They have a midnight black. I don't know how that's different compared to what we have now. They have a cool blue one, and then they have a quote-unquote silver one.
Nice. You going to get the blue one?
No, I'm not going to get a new radio.
Why?
Too expensive.
Yeah, because you need to pay for it.
Whatever.
What about the V-Bar Neo metal case colors?
What's yeah, yeah, they came out with a V-Bar Neo metal case, I believe, late last year. It was blue, and now they have them in like silver and gold. So if you don't like blue, you can get silver or gold. And that, and they showed the logo, the Nitro Logo 690 that Kyle Dahl designed. It's just on display, but that's not really anything new. So.
No. It's all news.
All news, yeah.
Now, last but not least, we have the Minicopter.
Diablo Nitro. The
Diablo Nitro, yeah. That's based off of Nick's.
Yeah. Homemade thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
It looks cool. Looks compact. It's really tidy and looks kind of small. For those of you that follow Nick Maxwell on Facebook, he took some Raptor parts and even made his own parts to make a Diablo Nitro. It looked hacked together because it was, and it was made in his garage. So they took the concept and made it an actual kit. So good for them. Keeping Nitro alive.
You know, it's interesting, Kyle, that, you know, the hobby is smaller than it used to be ever. Yeah. Right?
Right.
Or at least in the last 10 years, whatever. Mm. And you see more and more Nitros. You got this new MRCI conversion. You have the Carry Shirley's conversion, both 570 Goblins. Mm-hmm. You got this new Nick Maxwell, you know, Nick Maxwell based design of the mini copter Diablo, mm-hmm. you know, 700 class. Mm-hmm. What's up with all this Nitro stuff? Like, who's buying this stuff? Not to say anything, but like, I'd like to be honest. Right. I think there's too many companies releasing too much stuff. Am I not just? I just don't understand how these companies can stay afloat. Right. That's right. My whole point.
Right.
Because there's a limit to how much you can sell in such a small market.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like more and more and more companies try to design and compete with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Are these companies like just, do they have like another source of income? Like, are they like in another business? They sell gold or something and then they do this on the side? I mean, I'm trying to understand. I'm not trying to be an asshole here.
Right.
Sorry, I speak my mind, you know?
Right.
But I'm really trying to understand how, you know, you can survive in the hobby that has been shrinking steadily right. for years, right?
Right.
And come up with like a nitro, like so many nitros all at once. And it's a niche within a niche, right?
Yeah.
So like, what's going on?
A lot of these companies
might. You think there's demand for this stuff?
Well, maybe there's not as many employees to support. Maybe there's not as many bills to support. Maybe these companies don't need to sell hundreds of models in order to make a profit. Maybe they sell them for high enough and the margins are strong enough. I don't know. Or maybe they have part-time jobs. Maybe this is not their full-time gig.
But true, but don't forget that like when you design a nitro, you have to design a clutch stack. You have to design a fan shroud. You have to design a fuel tank. All these things require a mold, like especially fan shroud, tank, blah, blah, blah. I know how much that costs. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you don't sell at least 300-400 of them, you can't even break even. So I'm just curious, like it's interesting to know, like, props to Mikado, right? They did the logo, and mm-hmm. they worked some kind of association with Synergy. It's not a secret
mm-hmm.
to use some of the Synergy parts. Mm-hmm. Great association. Mapo's awesome guy. Logo, yep. You know, Mikado, Ralph, and all those guys, great people.
Yeah,
they worked together to make this work for Kyle Dahl's design, and mm-hmm. I think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you invest tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars for new design, for new molds, for everything else? When there's just not enough people out there to buy your stuff. It's I don't know. I'm just curious. I'm voicing my opinion because it's interesting, right?
It's tough. The side of it that I look at that makes me excited is the more nitros out there and the more nitros being purchased is hopefully the price of nitro will come down and more people get access.
Yeah, I agree.
Because like what sucks is I used to fly Byron Fuels, and Byron Fuels is no longer available at the local hobby shop here at Graves RC because it is so expensive now due to the lack of demand. So if people start buying it more, the prices will come down. It'll be more available. So the more nitro's coming out, the more nitro's being purchased, the cheaper nitro fuel will be, hopefully.
So if you're listening and you like nitro, just buy a you have got to buy a Nick Maxwell style or design Diablo. I think mm-hmm. so.
Yeah.
If you like nitro, you have to try Carrie Shirley's 570 conversion, and you have to try Jonas's MRCI conversion as well. Try them all. Support those guys. Yeah. If you have any kind of disposable income, go for it. Yeah. Spend the money. Because really, the hobby is really small, and these companies need your support. They really do.
Yeah.
To be able to justify their investment and to make it all worthwhile for everyone.
Right.
Don't you agree?
I do agree, because the only way to keep it going is to support the people who are keeping it going, right?
Yeah, spend the money, support those people, because it really. I'm being redundant, and maybe I'm coming across like a little bit harsh and maybe a dick, which I know I've known to be a dick on from time to time. But it's hard to survive, dude. It really is. And like when I see all these new things coming to the market, mm-hmm. kind of competing against each other and doing all this stuff, it's like, you got to support them because, like, how is this happening? Like, the market is just not there, right?
Right.
So, anyway, let's get to the main topic here.
Yes.
What do you think?
The main topic. You know what we could say?
The box. Yeah.
Let's get cracking on the main topic. Oh, I'm funny.
Let's get cracking.
That was terrible. Anyway.
You know what? Let's take a break first.
Okay.
Coat race. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
So.
Ready?
You do it.
What is this for? This is for 20%.
Mm-hmm.
20% off.
Mm-hmm.
SAB Goblin Parts. Any part, 20% off. You have to spend $100 or more, though. Mm-hmm. You can't just buy a $2 part and get 20% off. It makes no sense. But yeah, so the first code is BKRC134GTR. That's BKRC134 Golf Tango Romeo.
Nice. And the second code, there's two codes. The second code is BKRC231THE. BKRC231 Tango
Hotel.
Hotel Echo.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah.
Again, 20% off. Spend $100 or more, you get 20% off any SAB part.
Yep.
Two different coupons for two people. Be the first to use them.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yep. Cool.
Sweet.
All right, so let's get to the box. So yeah. What was in this box?
In the box was a prototype, fully assembled Minus Electronics Goblin Kraken. The all-new SAB Heli Division Goblin Kraken helicopter.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty fancy.
What do you think of it?
I am impressed. You and I saw this thing for the first time back in June at the SAB USA or SAB Heli Division party.
Yeah, way too long ago.
Yeah, very long time ago. I honestly have not really been kept in the loop on it as far as changes, but it seems it kept about the same. It no longer has that tail rotor. Remember the tail rotor with a sliding shaft?
Yeah.
It no longer has that.
Good idea. I didn't like that.
The reasons behind it not being included, I've seen a lot of questions. The honest, truthful reason it was not included is because it was more expensive and it did not have any benefits. So a traditional tail rotor was cheaper, it was lighter, and it flew exactly the same as that design.
Yeah,
so
no like benefits.
No reason to change it.
Yeah.
No reason to include it. But it's a sweet heli.
But it's a small, it's a smaller, simpler tail rotor.
Yes. It's more compact.
Yeah. The entire assembly there
is smaller, much lighter compared to like a Thunder Sport tail rotor.
Yeah, correct.
Like one of the cool things it has is the tail fin is a two-piece tail fin, and it's held on by two screws and two nylon nuts. So if you break just the tail fin, you don't have to pull the whole side plate off and readjust your tail belt tension. You just take the broken part off, take it off with the two bolts, put the new one on, put it back on.
So what are the most significant things that pop that you look at and you're like, this is a huge difference compared to like any other Goblin?
I would say looking at the top is the rotor head. The rotor head's been completely redesigned.
Yeah.
So one thing that everyone will know is that if you crash a Goblin, you will bend the main blade grip arms, right? And you got to mm-hmm. take the spindle apart, take the grips off, pull the arm off, put a new one on. Kind of a pain. So now the arms mount from the outside. So if you bend one, you take the screw out from the outside, put a new arm on, boom, done. You got it fixed in 2 minutes.
And I know that the blade grip is made from 7075 aluminum, which is really strong aluminum.
Yes.
And the blade grip arms are made from 6061,
mm-hmm.
which is still strong, but it's less stronger. A lot of manufacturers use 6061 too.
Right.
But this is obviously less strong than the grip. So mm-hmm. if you crash, you're going to bend the arm and not the grip.
Right.
And like you said, the arm is really easy to replace.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And I've been flying this Kraken rotor head. Enrico came up with one just to test the concept that would fit on a Thunder Sport for me. And I hate to admit it, but I have crashed it a handful of times now. And when I do, that arm either bends or just it'll kind of spin a little bit and then it'll bend. But the grip is never damaged in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So that's a really nice feature. It also has some adjustable dampening, even more adjustable than the previous design. So if you really want to tune it for a low RPM or high RPM 3D smooth, you can do that any way you want. So rotor head's definitely a nice little upgrade.
What else you got?
The main frame layout is absolutely unconventional as far as SAB Goblin goes.
Oh, terrible, yeah.
It's
Not terribly different. Like,
right.
Just totally
abstract.
Like, yeah,
like
yeah.
Looks nothing like a Goblin.
Yeah.
For those of you who've seen the Kraken, the orange side pieces, those are not bolt-on covers. Those are 100% structural. That mm-hmm. is the bottom frame, is mm-hmm. those orange side pieces.
Mm-hmm.
It's one piece, the whole bottom
piece. So the side frames are like an inch tall.
In
height?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there's an actual top piece that the main plate connects to, which is so that you get two top carbon frames that the main plate connects to, and those are like an inch tall, and then, you know, like a foot long for the main frame. You just got two of those.
Yeah, so you got this lower structure
Right.
This lower thing that looks like a part of a canopy mm-hmm. from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
The structural.
Yeah.
That's holding, that's attaching the main gear
mm-hmm.
to your frames. The landing gear. The landing gear, sorry, not main gear. The landing gear to your main frames, to your frames, side
Correct.
Frames.
Correct.
Side frames are an inch tall.
Yeah.
And they attach this lower orange looking thing that looks like a canopy.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes landing gear to this orange thing that looks like part of a canopy to mm-hmm. the main frames mm-hmm. that are an inch tall
mm-hmm.
to the main plate, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Which hold the main plate holds the transmission, Everything. The servos, rotor head, and then, of course, the boom attachment system. And the boom attaches a little differently now. There's more nylon bolts involved, so it's more rigid, and there's no longer two side pinching bolts into a frame.
Mm-hmm.
It's all nylon bolts, and it's stronger overall. It's more rigid. And stuff like that. But yeah, it's just from the ground up, it's absolutely completely different. I think the only things that carry over from the original Goblin are like the, at least on mine in this version, is the skid pipe tubes for the landing gear. Screws. Everything is really from the ground up redesigned.
It really is. And yeah. I don't know that I'm sold. It's one of those things that needs to grow on you, right?
Right.
I really like a lot of the changes being made here. For one, the one thing that really stood out to me when you showed it to me a couple of days ago was the wiring, like you said before.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say anything bad about the original Goblin wiring design, but you know, you when you're running the wires from the ESC to your flight controller or your receiver or whatever, you have to go down from below the battery tray up and around the frame on the side of the boom up to this cavity that goes up to where your flight controller is.
Right.
With this, there's just no... The wiring is all up top. It runs all alongside that mother plate, mm-hmm. and that's it.
Yeah.
So everything else is just there as a part that you can unscrew, screw back on. Mm-hmm. You know, you crash, you break those lower pieces that hold... that attach your landing gear to your frames or to your main plate.
Mm-hmm.
You replace them, bolt them on, you're good to go.
Right.
There's not removing wires, rerouting wires, you know. Especially, remember, on any other Goblin, right? You if you change the motor, you have the motor wires that connect to the ESC running alongside the frames. Mm-hmm. You don't have that.
Right.
It's all modular now. It's very easy modular. To remove yeah. and replace. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's I like sweet. That. That it's was sweet. Really cool.
Yeah. There's a plastic channel that bolts on to the side frames that all your wires, like your ESC wires and your cyclic servos, get attached to. So it's very easy to wire. I am terrible at wiring helicopters, and even I made this one look good. So that really says something. You know, the servos are very close to the flybrush unit. The ESC is right up next to the motor. Everything's very close to each other, so you don't really need any servo extensions. The only servo extension that you should use is for the tail servo, just like the previous design, just so you have a breakaway point, but it's not required. Just know that in a crash, if the boom detaches, your V-bar will be pulled with it. So I highly recommend using a tail servo extension. But yeah, this thing's just super easy to set up, super easy to wire. It's got some new servo geometry, so the front two servos are standing up now instead of laying down. So the linkage rod stays a bit more straight. Yeah, that's kind of it for the main plate. It's enclosed. The main gears are enclosed in a nice little housing. And I heard from Enrico, now obviously this is subject to each person themselves, but he says it is almost impossible to damage the gears inside that housing. So yes, it is serviceable, but he basically says you won't need to. Once you build it, you build it. They're
metal
gears.
What do you mean?
He told me that they crashed the crap out of this thing. Full speed, right into the ground. No throttle hold, nothing. And they did not damage the gears. Perfectly fine. No problem.
No way.
Even the one-way bearing, zero damage. So he basically...
Is it in an oil bath? No, not anymore.
Can't say. I don't know. I see mine...
It's not an oil bath.
So I don't know. Mine came built. So I don't really know how it works because mine, like I said, came fully built. But Enrico basically says this thing is indestructible. So you can put all the RPM you want on it. You can crash it in to the ground.
So he's
real
not
hard.
Telling you what it's in it, and you haven't taken it apart.
I would love to, but there's an event coming up in Thailand, and I don't really want to take it apart and break something. But, yeah,
well,
real tough, real strong. So I'm looking forward to that. Because in the heat, like, Goblin Mangers don't strip. I'm talking about Thunder Sport. They don't strip. They melt, right?
They melt, yeah, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to having something that's, you know, never going to melt, never going to break.
I'm thinking, like, I haven't seen it inside, and I know he's being very secretive about,
right,
like, what's inside that box, which is fine. I respect that, right? Yeah,
right.
But I'm thinking it's probably similar to when we're running the steel gear, right? The steel pinion on, like, a 700, you know what I mean? Because we have that now, right?
Right.
I'm thinking that it's like that, and it's got some kind of oil going on to keep it lubed, or grease, or...
something, I'm sure.
Something in there, right? Yeah. It doesn't need to be a true oil bath. That would make no sense to me. Like, I haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. I'm just speculating. I haven't taken it apart, and I don't have one to do so with. And I know you don't want to do it, and even if you did, you won't say what it's about. And I don't blame you for it, because... it's not time to release that information yet.
Yeah.
But if I was the designer, I really wouldn't do an oil bath. There's
just no need, right?
Well, I mean, back in the day when I used to fly miniature aircraft, way back, like I'm talking 15 years ago, there was a tail, even in the early 2000s, like even over 15 years ago, there was a helicopter made by Miniature Aircraft called the Expert. It was a 61 Nitro helicopter. And it had a tail gear that was in an oil bath, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pain in the ass to maintain.
Was it loud? So I don't see
a reason to have an oil bath. What I could picture as a great solution is the steel main gear with a steel pinion we use on the 700s is an upgrade, right? Mm-hmm. Joel at the field has that, right? Main mm-hmm. gear. His is wearing. Mine is wearing really bad. I have to use that what do we call that? PJ1, which is motorcycle chain lubricant grease, or grease or oil or grease. And it's a very sticky type of grease, and you spray it on the gear and it sticks to the gear and makes the gear last longer. What happens with the SAB steel main gear and pinion is if you don't keep it lubed, over time the pinion starts to wear and wear and wear. And the gear, believe it or not, is stronger than the pinion. So the pinion eventually will strip.
Mm-hmm.
And you're done.
Right.
So what I would do, and I'm just speculating, if I was in Rico, is I would have taken this steel setup and put it inside that box and fill it with grease.
Mm-hmm.
That way the grease is keeping it looped. It can't sling out and go everywhere and make a mess on your canopy and everywhere else.
Right.
Stays enclosed, stays looped, lasts forever.
Right.
And that's no real reason to have... to have it submerged in oil. What would be the point of that? The material is strong enough. You just need a good lubrication, right?
Well, that was the downfall of what you have now. As long as it's lubed, it's fine. It's just correct. The lube flying off.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I would do. I'm not right. saying that's what it is. I'm saying if I had a choice, that's what I would do. So, but we've been told, bottom line, is that is indestructible, right?
It's indestructible. Yeah. Very, very, very little maintenance. No need any maintenance. It's super strong.
No maintenance. No need.
No need. But it's a super strong setup. He basically says you just don't really have to worry about it. You build it and kind of forget about it. Maybe take a look at it every now and again. But it's not something like the current Thundersport CNC main gear where you should lube it constantly.
You have to keep it looped.
Yeah. This is like you build it and like, okay, go fly. No worries. So pretty sweet.
What else you got?
What else do we got? My phone locked up. The Kraken.
It's a fresh new look.
It is fresh. Sure. It's totally new. Yeah. And something that's nice for us, being the distributors and also people selling it, it's available in one color.
Yeah.
At the release. So that orange color that you see on Facebook and in the videos, that's the color it's going to be released in. I think it looks absolutely awesome.
And I think some people will argue that, I wanted a different color. Well, tough it up, boys.
Yeah.
Buy the orange, and there's going to be plenty of colors down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Buy a different color down the road.
Mm-hmm.
From a dealer distributor perspective, or like you know, point of view, it's a nightmare when we have multiple colors to deal with, because we have to keep triple two, three, four times the stock.
Yeah.
For no reason. Like classic example, the 570 Sport.
Mm-hmm.
There's an orange, there's a yellow, and there's a Drake. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to keep them all in stock.
Yeah.
And it's been times when we have plenty of drags, plenty of oranges, but somebody wants a yellow.
Of course. Like,
sorry, we don't have it. Yeah. Oh, I want the yellow. You missed out on the sale, and we had the stupid other seven kids sitting on the shelf.
Right.
But that customer does not want them because he wants the yellow.
Right.
And the only difference is the boom and the canopy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I know SAB will release other colors, so there's no question about that. So I like the whole idea and thought process of having one color, at least as of the release date, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And when it is released, it's going to come with main blades and tail blades. So it's going to come with 690 millimeter SAB main blades and then likely 105 millimeter tail blades. Right now we're deciding between 105 and 115, but it's looking closer to 105.
105.
Because the gear ratio is tuned more for 105s.
Yeah. Nice.
It's flying great. And a lot of people have asked me about weight. I will have to preface this in saying that, like I said before, mine is prototype. So when they made this canopy and boom, afterwards they found a better way to do it and make it even lighter. So my Kraken with BK DS 7003 and 7007 tail servo, a V-Bar Neo, an Xnova 4525 560 kV lightning motor, a Hobbywing 200 amp version 4.1 ESC, 690 blades and 115 tail blades without batteries weighs 8.3 pounds. So ready to fly with batteries is like somewhere around 12, because the packs that I have right now are a little on the heavier side. So.
And your battery?
It's a 12S OptiPower 5000 milliamp 50C pack.
Is it heavy?
It's a little on the heavier side, yeah. But, you know, some packs might be a little bit lighter, you know. They vary a little bit.
Well, you can't count the pack. The pack is different.
It varies all the time.
Yeah, of course.
If you're going to run 2.6S or one stick pack or your connectors, your wire length, it all makes a really big difference. But
you know, it's no different than somebody flying a Neo that's plastic case versus Neo with a metal case.
Yeah.
Add a few grams here and there, like the Varian Demon type, fly controller that weighs more because it's got also CNC case. Some servos are heavier, some servos are lighter, some servos have
plastic case
servos. Yeah, somebody can be flying a 130 ESC like a Hobbywing 130 versus a 200 like you and I would be flying, or like there's just so many different variables you could knock out 100 grams.
Yeah, backup guard, receiver pack. So generally speaking, without packs, this thing is going to weigh roughly 8 pounds, which is pretty much on par. In fact, maybe a little bit lighter than like a Thundersport, or it's very, very close to the same weight. I can tell you that I don't think the weight is a big deal by any means, because after flying this thing, I only have about half a flight on it due to the Florida rain yesterday never letting up. This thing flies incredibly light. It's got a lot of power. It's got a lot of pop, a lot of pull. The Xnova motor being just a 4525 is more than enough. A lot of people want to do 4530 these days, but I think the 4530 is absolutely unnecessary. Wouldn't you agree? In a 700 size?
I'm actually very surprised. It's very weird, right? Because I used to fly Scorpion motors for a long time. I flew Scorpion. You did too.
Yeah, many years.
4525.
No issues with the motor. Great motor.
We start. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We start flying Xnova, and then all of a sudden, everybody wants 4530.
Right.
What happened?
I don't know.
No, seriously, what happened?
I don't know.
I even read a comment, like, I think I'm looking for it right now as we speak. If somebody saying, "Oh, 4525 is enough," like what?
Yeah, it's plenty.
Yeah,
absolutely plenty.
It's shit. That's what I fly. That's what I've been flying all along.
Yeah.
Like I don't get it.
I think for 90% of the people out there, and this is not meant to be offensive or a jab in any way, shape, or form, they will probably not be able to pick up on the difference between 4525 and 4530. Because I've done back-to-back testing on both, and what I've noticed mostly with the 4530 is just the extra torque and the extra grunt. Where that's more beneficial on something like a Havoc with three blades. The extra torque on a three-bladed heli is nice, but absolutely not required. Like Bert just said, we've been flying 4525 motors in three-bladed helis, in two-blade helis for like, what, 10 years? Like,
yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
Forever. This is not like, nothing has changed.
Yeah.
The 4530, it's nice. It's got more torque, but I have a 4525 in the Kraken, and it's plenty. More
and
than
nothing negative to say about any other motor company. At all.
Right.
But the 45-25X Nova is freaking solid. Probably as good as 45-30 on other brands, to be honest. It's like really, really good. So either way, like I don't think most people will tell the difference between 45-25 versus 45-30.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people might if they're really like running a lot of pitch and being really aggressive with the heli.
Right.
But I think overall, like it's so close. Like it's not a big difference. Yeah.
And the only reason I went with 560 kV is because that's what I had in my heli room when I was building the heli.
530 is sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think 530 is the, it's, honestly, that's the best motor to have. 45, 25, 530 for 99.9% of people is an awesome motor.
It's overall solid motor. It's light. It's got a lot of power, a lot of torque, a lot of grunt.
Yeah.
Solid motor.
No doubt.
Solid motor. But
cool.
Yeah. Hold on. I want to get into something.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Kraken versus like a Thundersport?
It's not an upgrade.
Someone asked, is the Kraken replacing a Thundersport?
Yeah, and we talked about this like earlier today, you and I. Like, I'm gonna do a video of this, and you know, we'll have some videos coming out in the future. So check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is on the BK Hobbies Facebook or SAB USA, one of the same company, really. But no, it really is.
It is.
This is same part of the family of companies. But we're going to do a video and explain this a little bit more. But we were talking about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that think that the Kraken is replacing an existing, Goblin helicopter, you couldn't be farther from... You're just wrong.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
It's just... It's not an upgrade. It's not an improvement. It's not... Well, is it an improvement? It really depends on how you look at it, right? It's just a different... It's the next
evolution.
It's the natural evolution of SAB, right? SAB Heli Division started late 11, early 12.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the first Goblin was released spring of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time now for like that next thing.
Right.
I wouldn't call it drastic. It's really not drastic, but it kind of is like a big change.
Mm-hmm.
In the design concept and where Goblin is going to lead into the future.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a replacement for what's out there? No.
Mm-mm.
Now, when you look back at the competition model, that's kind of outdated. That's 2 to 3 years old. 2 to 3 years since it was discontinued.
Right. So now we're looking at like 4 or 5 years.
Correct. So it's outdated.
Yeah.
Does it mean you can't get parts for it? No. We're still going to have parts for it. SAB is going to produce them. We're going to stock them. Dealers are going to stock them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like a thing of the past now,
right?
The competition, right? But the latest and greatest generation of Goblin helicopters, like the Thundersport and everything is Thundersport based, like the Havoc, which is a 3-blade version of the Thundersport.
Mm-hmm.
The original Thundersport that retails for under $700 without blades.
Mm-hmm.
The Drake, which is basically a Thundersport with a different color scheme and blades that retails for low $800 range, right?
Right.
Those are here to stay. Right,
mm-hmm.
They're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're being replaced by the Kraken because the Kraken is so different and it's a lot more money. Kraken is almost $1,100. We're gonna get to the price,
mm-hmm.
but Kraken is almost $1,100 where you can buy a Thundersport without blades. Granted, no blades, but you can buy a Thundersport for $698.
Yeah,
so that's $400 difference,
mm-hmm.
$398 difference minus blades. That's a big chunk of money,
that's
right there.
That's a big jump. Yeah.
Yeah,
big jump.
And it's a simple helicopter. It's easy to set up. It's easy to build, easy to maintain. You can't go wrong with that. It's not going away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you think of the Black Thunder series, the original Black Thunder series, like that green Black Thunder and the yellow Black Thunder and all those, I wouldn't say they're outdated, but they're a little bit older. I think eventually they're going to be phased out by SAB.
I would say it's more like not as relevant, right?
Not as relevant, and we don't even stock them.
Right.
We can get them for you if you like one.
You
want to get one like from BK Hobbies, SAB USA, and a lot of our dealers. I don't think that most of our dealers, including our very big dealers like A-Main Hobbies, Heli Direct, Anything Heli, all those guys, I don't think they stock those.
Mm-hmm.
You can still get them from them or from us. We can order them. We can get them from SAB Factory. It's not a big deal, but I think they're really more of an outdated heli in the sense that the Thundersport series, which includes the Thundersport in itself, the Drake, and the Havoc, have come to replace that Black Line series, right?
Right.
But that latest and greatest of that series, which is, again, I don't mean to be redundant, but again, it's the Thunder Sport, it's the Drake, it's the Havoc. I think they're here to stay because I think they're relatively inexpensive compared to the new Kraken, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they fly awesome. They're great helis.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with them.
It's just a totally different, like, it's already carved out its spot in the fleet, in the market.
Yeah,
it's the affordable, high performance, easy to repair, easy to like maintain helicopter. And then if you want to bring the crop, top of the line, that's the Kraken.
Yeah.
It's just two different markets.
Yeah,
that's all.
Correct. Yeah. 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 No doubt.
So
we'll get
into that, all the details with a video that Bert and I are going to do this upcoming week and release at some point here in the near future, explaining the absolute differences. But
to wrap it up, Kyle, because I think we've been recording for a while, haven't we?
Have we?
Yeah, we're about coming up on an hour. But to wrap it up, yep. Kraken, release date.
May 2nd. Tentatively.
When can people pre-order?
Pre-orders start officially April 22nd.
Now, as BK Hobbies, we have sent some quote-unquote reservation requests to people and giving people options to reserve. Mm-hmm. I'm sure other dealers can too.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want one, contact your favorite dealer.
Mm-hmm.
It could be A-Main Hobbies. It could be Heli Direct. It could be Only Fine Helis. It could be anything Heli. It could be Lore Heli. It could be anybody for that matter. Any dealer that's your preferred dealer, contact them and say, I want a Kraken.
Mm-hmm.
And deal with them. And they can perhaps more than likely reserve one for you. But I'll tell you what. Please reserve one if you have any interest in having one.
Yeah.
Because based on the numbers that we're seeing as of today... Today is what?
Today is
Wednesday, March 20th.
Yep.
I think we're going to be sold out before release.
I would tend to agree with you.
I would be very... This is not a Drake or a Havoc or mm-hmm. any other Goblin release that occurs every 12 weeks. This is a big deal. And it's the truth.
Yeah.
This is a big deal. Like, this is a different heli. This is a new, a true.
This is a big.
This is not a different color. This is not like black matte this or that or like some improvements and some changes.
Yeah.
This is like a new release, like a new
mm-hmm.
deal.
Mm-hmm.
And based on the numbers we're seeing, and mm-hmm. tell me if you don't agree with me, Kyle.
No, I agree.
We might not have any left over by the release date.
Yeah, if you guys know you want one, I would not waste any time. I would get yourself in line.
Just contact, and you know, even though we're not allowed to do an official pre-order on our website as of today, nobody is, as per SAB's request.
Right.
If you want one, contact your favorite dealer.
Yep.
Shoot them an email, call them up and say, hey, I really want a Kraken. Is there anything you can do for me to save me one? Because, I think they're going to be gone.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll be able to get one, but you're going to have to wait for batch number two or number three. And batch number two might be a couple of months
mm-hmm.
after the release. So now you're looking into like end of June, sometime in July.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
It fully depends on production because I know they're putting a fixed amount in right now. And once they're gone, they're going to have to order more. So.
Yeah, we already try to up our quantity and it's debatable that we can get it upped, right, for the U.S. market.
Yeah,
so,
what we need. So if you guys know you want one, seriously, contact your favorite dealer and get yourself in line.
Yeah, call them up and say, hey, I want one. Can you get me one? Because dealers are working with SABOSA, with us right now, to get mm-hmm. their quantities.
Yeah.
We're trying to accommodate every dealer we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
But we're running out. I think we're already oversold. So, yeah. So...
What's the price?
$1,096.
That is a great deal. You're getting a brand new heli from the ground up. I know there was some speculation early on it was going to be a $1,300 to $1,400 kit, but no. $1,096 with blades.
$1,096. And don't expect, you know, discount, 10%, 20%, custom deals. Nobody's allowed to give any deals. Brand new machine.
Yep.
It's a very high demand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you cannot go to the AT&T store or the Verizon store and buy a new Apple iPhone or a new Note 9 and ask them for 20% off because they're going to tell you to go screw yourself.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
There's no discounts, so don't expect that.
Nope.
Discounts will come probably 6 months or a year down the road as, you know, the market gets a little bit more saturated and there's more supply than demand. But right now, there's far more demand than supply, so there's no discounts.
Correct.
Pay the $1,096. You're going to get free shipping. Most dealers offer that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's worth every penny.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of a kind, unique heli. Very different. Very, very different. I'm impressed, man. It's like totally. It needs to grow on me. It really does.
It's for me to look at it, it's still confusing because what is that? I don't recognize that part. Yeah, it's strange. Very strange.
But anyway, so cool. 1096.
Yeah.
Released May 2nd. Pre-orders will open April 22nd, although you could probably reserve one with your favorite dealer as of right now if you contact them. Mm-hmm. Make sure you get a hold of them, support them, and tell them, hey, I want a Kraken from you. It'll come with main and tail blades.
Yep.
Orange collar.
Yep.
I think that's it.
Not no
screw. Anything else that's relevant?
Not really. That's about it. I mean, as far as setup goes, if you guys are wanting to get your components ordered, it's a very typical setup. 45-25 size motor. 160 to 200 amp ESC, standard cyclic servos and a tail servo, and a flat brush unit.
I would say go down to 130 amp ESC, as low as 130 if you're doing sport flying, okay?
Correct.
If you're going to do 3D, go 160 to 200. Three cyclic servos, full size, one tail servo, of course, full size.
Yep.
4525 series motor or 4530.
Mm-hmm. 520 to 560 kV.
520 to 560,
yep.
Comes with blades.
Yep.
Even 500 to 560, I say.
You could.
Okay, yeah.
You could, yeah.
Depending on what you want for head speed. I'd say if you're looking for 3D, I would do focus on 530.
Yeah.
If you're on crazy high head speed, I would do 560.
Yeah.
If you're a sport pilot, I would do on the 500 range, right?
Yeah. Oh, and the battery compartment size is plenty big for 12S or 14S. So if you either have big batteries or want a 14S setup, you can do so.
Nice.
Yep.
Cool.
Well,
are we going to do podcasts every other week now, Kyle, since we started slacking?
I guess we'll see what happens next week, won't we? Oh, wait, I'm not going to be here next week.
Oh, you're gone.
I'm gone.
Nice. So two more weeks without a podcast.
Wow, that's not good.
We've been slacking, yeah. Where are you going?
I'm going to Thailand.
Are you looking forward to it?
The event, yes.
Dude, you have passage to get there. 5-hour layover in Atlanta.
Okay, so here's how this works. Yeah. I go from Orlando to Atlanta, which is like, I don't know, hour and a half late. And I get there, and I'm there for about 5 hours. And I go from Atlanta to South Korea, which is like a 16.5-hour flight. Wonderful. And I'm there for another, like, 4 hours. And I go from South Korea to Bangkok, Thailand, which is, what did you say? It was like 4 hours or something? 4 or 6 hours or something? I think it was 6 hours from South Korea all the way to Thailand. Not good. Not good.
No way.
Not good.
No way.
Yeah.
I'm glad my days of traveling for SAB are over. I'm glad you took over that. You're young. You can enjoy it.
No.
There's a lot of hot girls in Thailand and you're single. No, sorry. You're not single
anymore. I'm not single.
My bad. Yeah. You have a commitment now. Okay. Well, you go to Thailand, sit at the airport and have a sip on a cocktail and wait 5 hours for your next flight.
Can't wait.
But it'll be fun. It'll be a good event. It'll be a good event.
Yeah.
It'll be great. Wish I could go. I can't.
Do you wish you could go?
Yeah. Very much so.
I think it'll be fun because Tarek's going to be there and Kyle Dahl's going to be there.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't wait to see Tarek. I love that guy. He's awesome.
I'm done.
Awesome guy. What? I love Tarek. He's awesome. He's my good friend, Tarek.
Time to wrap it up. Yep. Time to wrap it up.
Facebook.com/TheBKOfficial.
Yep.
Facebook.com/.
Me?
Yeah.
Kyle Stace CRC.
Or Facebook.com/BirdRC.
Yeah.
Or Instagram.com/. No, there's no Instagram.com/, is there?
Yes,
yeah, it is.
Yeah.
The BK Official.
Yep. Yeah. Or?
Or Bert_Cammer. Or SAB Official. What is it?
The Official
SAB USA.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got. Just look us up. Official SAB USA or The BK Official.
Yep.
Or Kyle Stacey.
Yeah.
Or Kyle Stacey RC or BirdRC.
Yeah.
And we'll be more than happy to answer your questions. And send us some episode ideas.
Yep.
We haven't gotten any in a long time. So.
I got a few saved up. I just got to write some notes for them. We got some good stuff.
Yeah, and Kyle will be gone next week. But we will come back 2 weeks from today. So that'll be what? Today's the 20th? Yeah, today's the 20th of March.
So not this upcoming Monday. The Monday after is when I get back home from Thailand.
April 3rd. Wednesday, April 3rd, we'll be back.
Yep, because April 2nd, we'll record. And I get home on April 1st.
No, we'll record on the 3rd. Same day.
Record on the 3rd?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Just like today.
Deal.
All right, thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
See ya.
See ya.